He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything to me. Sing it now. Oh, he's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. He's everything. Oh, let's stand and sing it, church. Well, he's everything, everything to me. He's everything, everything to me. My father, my sister, and my brother, everything to me. Yes, he is. Amen. He means more than this world to us, I'll tell you that. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord on Saturday night? What a privilege it is to be in God's house once again. This opportunity is a treasure thing in our lives to get to come to the house of the Lord. Why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand and tell them you're glad to see them in church on Saturday night. What a privilege it is to be in the house of God. Amen. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. Everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, and my brother. Everything to me. Lord, he's everything. He's everything to me. He's everything. He's everything to me. He's my father, my mother, my sister, a good hand clap of praise tonight. You love him with all your heart. Praise the Lord. We have several prayer requests tonight. I'll let you be seated while we look at these. Brother Brad Yance, if you'd get ready to take us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these requests. Brother Jose Manley sends this in. I want to praise the Lord for his goodness. A few days ago, my sister who lives in Puerto Rico had a simple procedure done and had a heart attack during the surgery. The doctor did not give her much hope. They had to medically induce her into a coma and only had 30% of her heart working. A few of the saints from the church started praying, and within a few days she was awake, breathing, and speaking on her own. I'm very thankful and grateful to God's grace, and ask for prayer for her continued healing and recovery. Thank you. God bless Brother Jose. So we praise the Lord for that testimony tonight, don't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Joel Moyer sends this in. We will just want to continue to pray for that family. This week they're going to be facing some very strenuous situations in court, hearings, and different things. So he's asking that we would just pray that the divine will of our Lord would be done. And may God solve this once and for all. He's able to do that. Don't we believe that tonight? Amen. We want to continue to pray for Sister Christine Baker, who's having fluttering and irregular beats in her heart. So we want to pray for her tonight that the Lord would give her a complete recovery. Brother Jack Wright sends this in. I would like to put in a prayer request for tonight's service. Brother Don Lathner, a message preacher in Sandwich, Illinois, has to help his wife in and out of a wheelchair all the time in their home. And the other day he was moving her and injured his shoulder very badly. They're asking that we would remember him tonight for his healing so that he can continue to be of a service to his wife there in the home. And may God just heal her while he's healing this brother. We just commit that unto the Lord as we pray tonight. I'm going to pray for Sister Maria Sponsia, who is having serious pain in her lower back. And just pray that in a sciatic nerve, just pray that God would give her healing tonight. Sister Becky Lynch's uncle, Randall Emerson, passed away today. Please remember the family in prayer, so we want to remember that need tonight. Please pray for Brother Greg Hughes. He is facing surgery, needs God in his life, so let's remember that prayer request tonight. Brother Orville Reese wants to thank the Lord for helping him to get his garage door working. It was a loose wire, and he wants to just thank God for intervention on that behalf, so we praise the Lord for that. Brother Mike Pinkston wants to turn in a request tonight. I would like for the saints to remember me in prayer this week. My doctor is having me see a oncologist this week concerning my white blood cells. The count is off, running high, and different things, and they're asking that we would remember that prayer request. Also, Brother Mike was diagnosed last week with severe sleep apnea, so he wants to thank you for your prayers, and we just continue to remember our brother that the Lord would just do a work in his life, a healing work. We believe he's more than able to do that tonight. Certainly want to pray for Sister Faye Yance. As many of you already know, Brother Ed Yance went home to be with the Lord. Service was today, and we want to pray for that family, the entire family, that the Lord would just be with them during this time, give them peace in their hearts. I love Brother Ed Yance. He was just a tremendous guy. I guess the most touching communion service I was ever in my life was less than 2 years ago here at the church. Brother Ed, I don't think anybody would mind me saying this, but Brother Ed Yance had never taken communion until here at the church less than 2 years ago. And that night, he and Brother Jack Yance, they washed each other's feet. And Brother Ed came through the communion line. And I just thank God so much for that. That meant so much to me. Just a tremendous blessing in my life to see that brother do that. And well, we know he's in a much better place than we are tonight. And he's not looking to come back here. He's very happy where he's at. So may God bless that family as we pray tonight. All the unspoken prayer requests, I'm sure you have needs. There's many things in our assembly that we need to ask God to help us in. How many of you know he's more than able to meet your need? Do you love him better than everything in this world tonight? Is he the greatest thing you've ever got a hold of your life? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's stand tonight. Give him one more good hand clap of praise. Brother Brad Yance, come tonight. Amen. He's worthy of our praise tonight. Love you, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's all pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you once again for this opportunity to come back into your house, Lord. Father, I just pray, God, that you just have full control of this service, Lord. May you move up and down these aisles, God. You see every hand that was raised, Father. I pray, God, may you move upon that request in each one of our hearts, Lord. Lord, these requests in my hand, Father, many needs, Father. First, we want to thank you for the testimonies, God, knowing that you're still moving among the people, Father. May you move upon each one of these requests according to your perfect will. Lord, have control of this service today, God. Lord, may you just be with the songs that's sung, Lord. Any sick is heal it, Father. Anybody needs saving, save them, Lord, and fill with the Holy Ghost, God. Lord, may you move upon our pastor, Father. And you see what he has before him tonight, Lord. He studied hard, and he's going to bring forth, Lord, a table spread before us, God. And we're coming hungry here, Lord. We're not feasting on any man's words, Lord, because they fail, but we're feasting on your body word, Father. Lord, may you just move in his service in a special way, God, and we'll give you the praise and honor in your name. Amen.
Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. Those that are streaming, we pray this service would be a great blessing to those folks as well. Let me make a couple of announcements tonight while the ushers are receiving the evening offering. If your family has an upcoming high school or college graduate, would like to have their picture and announcement in the lobby, on the lobby graduate screen, please submit hard copies or digital copies by email to the library or Sister Jill or Brother Bert by Wednesday, April the 18th. So remember that if you care to do that. Also, we want to recognize some folks tonight. We would like to thank all the sisters who work so hard in providing wonderful meals for the families who have recently lost a loved one. The church appreciates it very, very much. Also want to thank Brother Bert Thomason and his wife, Sister Jill, who do a great job out on the monitors in the lobby. You know the information on the monitors in the lobby. Well, Brother Bert and Sister Jill are responsible for that. And they do a tremendous job. Our sisters that prepare meals, they do a wonderful job. Let's give them all a good hand tonight, if you will. So we want to just give them a rose while they can smell it and tell them we appreciate them tonight. Do you appreciate one another? You are a privileged character tonight to get to come into this place to worship God with precious brothers and sisters. Do you love Him with all your heart tonight? Perplexing times are upon us. Syria is under siege. Russia is making their threats. The United States is making its threats. But I know this. We have got a secret place, a pavilion to go to. And it's covered with feathers. Aren't you glad about it tonight? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's give Him one more good hand clap of praise tonight. The house of the Lord. Through it all. Let's sing that little song tonight. Through it all. Through it all. We've learned to trust in our Lord. We're believing a great, tremendous message. You're part of a great move that God's got going on in the world tonight. You may feel burdened. You may feel downcast. You may feel like it's all for nothing, but it's all for something. Because you're on your way out of this pest house. You're on your way out of this old world. Through it all, He's going to get us out of here. Give Him one more hand clap of praise tonight. You love Him. Oh, yes, now through it all. Yes, through it all. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Oh, now through it all. Yes, through it all. I've learned to depend upon His word. Sing it again. Oh, yes, now through it all. Trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God.
to the Lord. Amen. Sister Lindsay, if you come onto the platform tonight, be getting ready to sing for us. Let's sing this little war song tonight. Well, I'm a soldier of the Lord. I'm a soldier
in the army.
Oh, I'm a soldier
in the army of the Lord.
I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. Yes, I'm a soldier
in the army of the Lord.
I'm a soldier. You can be seated tonight, Sister Lindsay. God bless you as you sing for us tonight.
So much we have lost as we look down the road where all the prodigals have walked, and one by one the enemy has whispered lies and led them off as slaves. But we know that you are God, yours is the victory. We know there is more to come that we may not yet see. So with the faith you've given us, we'll step into the valley unafraid. Yeah.
Out of the ashes, let
God of unrelenting love. Rescue every daughter, bring us back the wayward son, and by your Spirit breathe upon him, show the world that you alone can save. God, now breathe, oh breath of God, breathe, oh breath of God, now breathe. We call out to dry bones, come alive, come alive. We call out to dead hearts, come alive, come alive.
I think Brother Louis had requested me sing. And I know it's been a while since you heard me, so Brother Joel Brown, come up and help me sing this. Brother Joel got this in my mind the other night, singing "Can't Nobody Do Me Like Jesus." As Brother Donnie's been going over, what is your beloved more than any other beloved? Well, I'll tell you, there ain't nobody like my beloved. That's my Jesus. And can't nobody do for you what he can. And Brother Louis requested me to sing, so I'm just going to help Brother Joel. Y'all help us all. I think you'd be better if you'd stand, because Brother Donnie's going to come out.
Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. You know he's my friend. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody do me like the Lord. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. You know he's my friend. And he turned me around. He picked me up. Can't turn me around. You know he picked me up. And he turned me around. You know he's my friend. Oh, can't nobody do me like Jesus. Can't nobody. Jesus.
like Jesus can't nobody. You do me like the Lord can't nobody. You do me like Jesus, He's mine.
Praise the Lord. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise be to God. Amen. How many can say that's right? It's not just a good song, it's the truth. Or you say, Brother Donnie, I'm going through so much stuff. The trials of my life and the waves are so deep around me. I don't doubt that. I hear there's so much going on everywhere around the world. There ain't no question. We're going through more than, well, people that's ever been in our life. And the waves get so rough. But remember this one thing. Your lifeguard walks on water. Glory! So he don't sit on the beach. Say, y'all be careful now. But if the devil hits you when you're way out, he walks on water. Woo! Hallelujah. That about makes me want to change my text. Praise the Lord. Oh, don't you appreciate the goodness of the Lord? He is so, so good to us. I love Him with all my heart. I want to speak to you tonight on Thou Art Beautiful.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
And don't some of y'all go to smile and then, what he's talking about me. Actually, I wasn't talking about that. But yet, it's a beauty that's so far beyond the outside. Song of Solomon, chapter 6, verse 3. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feedeth among the lilies. And then this is him speaking back to her. Thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Death couldn't do it. Hell couldn't do it. Demons couldn't do it. Nothing could overcome it. But the eyes of the redeemed simply overwhelm him. Turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats. So apparently it must have been long. I mean, her hair looked like a flock. I mean, it's a shame when the men in this day, it's a shame when my hair is longer than a lot of women's. You can never identify them as looking like a flock of goats. Praise the Lord. So sisters, don't you let the world make fun of you. You wear your crown. You wear your crown. Bring glory to God by doing so. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Not only the natural day, it's been a beautiful day.
But Lord, we thank you for the hour that we're living. As the darkness presses against us, it testifies that the seventh morning is about ready to dawn. Time is running out. The darkness of the world and the darkness of sin is so engrossing the world that we're in. And as saints of God, we feel the pressure of it being around us. Even though we don't live in that, as far as our soul is concerned. Yet, Lord God, we have to deal with it. As we ask for your mercy and your help tonight in this service, would you come once again, Lord, and just anoint the word and anoint our hearts that we can be able to receive from it, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. It's not a scriptural point, but it is a point that most of us are probably common with and probably would agree with to a degree. And the point is that beauty is in the eyes of the beholder. When we would think about beauty, we would think, well, a beautiful house or a beautiful car, a beautiful tree. We look at the flowers that are starting to bloom, and we look at the different trees thus far that have come into their stage of blooms, and many of them even without any leaves on them. And yet they've put forth what God gave them. And we look at it and say, oh, how beautiful. That is so beautiful. Probably many of you have already said that since spring is right upon us. And you pass by, you know, a beautiful farm. It's got green rolling hills or whatever type of landscape that you like. And you say, look at that place. Look how beautiful that is. That is so beautiful. And then maybe you drive by and you see a certain car or a truck or whatever more that's the color you like or the kind of vehicle that you like. And you say, that is so beautiful. I'd love to have one like that. Or maybe it's a lake. Maybe you go to the lake. Or maybe you're an ocean person and you stand on the bank of the Atlantic or the Pacific or the Mediterranean or the Aegean or the Black or whatever sea or ocean that it is. And you look at that. Isn't that beautiful? Maybe yours is a taste of the white sands and the blue waters. Or maybe yours is more like the rock-bound coast of Maine or the coast of England or parts of Australia where I've been, to where that it's not necessarily the sand, but it is the rock and the crevices and how that it splashes against the rocks. And you look at it and think, that is absolutely beautiful. Well, you know, you'd have somebody else to come by and they look at it and say, I don't see anything pretty about it. I was born here all my life. I've known it all my life. It don't stand out to me. So two people looking at exactly the same thing, one would think that it was beautiful and the other one would think it's very common. There's nothing really outstanding about it at all. So we know then that people can look at the very same object or look at individuals and one declare how homely, how humiliating, how ugly, and another one would see absolutely nothing but beauty. Now, beauty can be defined in many ways. You know, it's amazing when you study the cultures of people, not only of cultures that have been, but cultures that are now. And in some of the tribal Africans, they still have the idea or the conception of beauty that it is the tribal scars. So whenever they are young, they will start scarring up their faces. Men and women alike, especially the women. And they'll start scarring up their faces. And to them, that is beauty. So many of them will take even serpent chains and they'll start cutting and scarring up. And the more scars you have, the more beautiful that you are. Of course, that doesn't go over in our culture and the Western thinking. We hate scars for the most part. We do everything in the world we can to try to cover them up because of our mindset. It takes away from our beauty. And yet beauty is a wonderful thing. And it certainly has been commercialized by the devil, especially in the way that we think about it. And some of you are wondering right now, where is he going? Don't worry, it'll be right in the Word all the way. But remember that God now in this parallel, of course this runs from the Song of Solomon. Solomon himself speaking to the Shulamite, but it is a parallel of the Lord Jesus and how he is looking at his bride. Now, the world looks at her even from the outside, her appearance, her dress, her mannerisms, the way she does, places she goes, doesn't go. They identify that as an occult or a strange and weird people because they do not understand the concept of the beauty of holiness. Now, there is a beauty of holiness, and probably many of you don't even know the meaning of the word holiness, the Hebrew word. It is not a long hair and a long dress. That is not what the word holiness means. The word holiness means separation, coming apart. Now, is dress part of it? It is, but that's not the only thing it's part of. You see, you could wear a long dress, but if your nature is still of the world, you still ain't holiness. You men can cut your hair and not dress like women and all that sort of thing. But if in your spirit you're still part of the world, you still aren't holiness yet. But real true holiness is also a sanctification of your spirit and of your mind as well. So then when we would worship God in the beauty of holiness, it is the divine honor of God. Beauty is actually an attribute of God. Now, if it was not, then every flower, every tree, every star, every planet, everything that God made, there would be absolutely nothing beautiful about it. Now, if holiness and ugliness and all of that, if that was the only thing that would be humility in God's eyes, then every flower would have to be ugly. There could be no pretty flowers. There could be no beautiful trees. There could be no beautiful landscape if all beauty is of the world. Boy, some of you all are really looking at me strange. But remember what Satan has done now is tried to take the outside beauty and to make that more than the inward beauty, which can go along with it as well. But God looks at beauty in a total different way than the world. Now, the world would be able to look at something that would be beautiful, and God would be able to look at some of that, and he would say, I agree, that is divine beauty. But what the majority of the world would identify as beautiful, and they would say, my, look at that beautiful woman, and to the majority of the world, she's going to have her face painted, of course, her hair cut, she's going to have on an ungodly dress, this and that and the other, and for the most part, that's what they would identify beauty. Now, it's really a shame already, I can tell already right here tonight, that you all are thinking beauty is only in the appearance of a woman. That's very sad. You need to read your Bible more. Beauty has much more to do with the way that a woman looks. It has much more to do than, boy, just say that that's a handsome man. You're totally missing so much of the declared beauty of God in the creation of the world. Now, everything in the earth and in the world that God has made, it has its own place and it has its own designation of whether it is plain or simple, whether it is beautiful, or whether it is designated as something that is simply necessary, but really isn't as beautiful as something else. But yet the Lord speaks to his bride and says to her here in verse 4, thou art beautiful, O my love, as Tirzah, which was the capital of one of the kingdoms when the kingdom was divided, also comely as Jerusalem, terrible as an army with banners. So here now, the Lord Jesus is looking at the bride and giving to her an attribute that she is beautiful. Now there again, keep in mind that beauty can be defined by different things. Now let me give you an example so you know which way I'm going to go. Now one day, a mother had sent her daughter off to college, and the girl had been gone for quite some time, and she decided to bring her girlfriend home with her. Now, she was the closest girl in school with her, and she was going to meet her mother at the train station. Now, whenever she comes up to the train station and her mother, the daughter is sitting on the outside of the train, and she sees her daughter, and her daughter is sitting there where she's visible, and the mother runs up to the train and she begins to wave and wave and wave, and the girl, which has come home with the daughter, she looks out the window at the mother and she sees her there, and she says, oh my goodness, look at that horrible woman. Oh, wouldn't you hate to sit down and have to eat dinner with that woman? Look at her. She is so ugly. She is so horrible looking.
Well, whenever the girl's girlfriend said that, then automatically that did something to the girl. So the girl then, she began to, oh yes, that is awful. Can you imagine looking at that woman every day? Well, whenever the train come to a stop and then the girls both got up and walked out, this ugly woman come up to the young girl and she grabbed her and kissed her and hugged her and she said, oh, darling, I've missed you so much and I've missed you. And the girl's girlfriend is looking at her and, you know, she just has this puzzled look on her face. So the daughter says, I don't know who you are. Get away from me. I don't know who you are. Keep your hands off of me. Don't touch me. Get away from me. Well, the local train conductor, which knew this woman and knew this girl, he comes up to the young girl and it was more than, hallelujah, it was more than what he could take. So he put his hands on the shoulders of this young girl and he says to her, aren't you ashamed of yourself? The reason you are so pretty and so beautiful is because when you was a baby, your house caught on fire and this woman, which you're ashamed of, was outside hanging clothes. And the fire people came, but nobody would go in the house because it was so bad. But this woman that you're ashamed of, your mother, took the clothes off of her back. Run in the house, run upstairs, and grabbed you out of the baby bed, and took her very own clothes, and wrapped you in her clothes, so you would not be burned. And he said, you are the reason she is ugly. And the train conductor turned around to the woman and said, even though she was ugly, even though she was so scarred, but the train conductor said, those scars are beautiful. Now you think of us when we were lost in the world, lost without God. And the Lord Jesus come to this earth. Hallelujah. And he took our sin, our shame, our degradation, everything that we were upon him. He went to that whipping post so you could be healed of your back trouble. He went to the whipping post so you could be healed of your kidney trouble or your reflux or your blood pressure or your sugar, whatever that you're dealing with. And the world might look at it and say, oh, he was a coward. It's a shame that he's that way. But it all depends on how you look at it. In the eyes of a child of God that needs healing, and they look at those scars on the back of the Lord Jesus, in the eyes of the beholder, those scars are beautiful. The world may look at it and say, that is so pitiful. I could never look at that. But in the eyes of the beholder, let me tell you something, friend. Oh my, he did not stand there and they wrap him in gold and silver and tapestry that would be deserving of a great king. But he went there with love in his heart. The house was on fire and you were dying. You were burning up, as it were, on the inside. Gabriel could not go in. Wormwood could not go in. The priest could not go in. The Spirit God, the Father God, invisible, immortal as he was, could not go in. But the Lord Jesus said, I will go. I will go in. I will become their reproach. I will become their sin. I will allow their scars to be placed on me. Then I ask you tonight, how do you view those scars? Are you ashamed of the Lord Jesus? Are you ashamed because he has you to dress a certain way or look a certain way? Or do you say, I am proud to bear the scars of the gospel of Jesus Christ? So I ask you, what is beauty? What makes beauty? So when you need healing, do you want a beautiful doctor, a handsome someone? Or are you willing to go to a whipping post when there's blood and sinew and tissue and parts of his muscles from the cat of nine tails that's landed his feet. And his blood, soul spilled out. It looked like an animal had been massacred. Or will you hang your head and say, well, so-and-so is here tonight. I don't want them to know I believe in shouting. I don't care who's here. I want them to know I believe in the power of God. I am not ashamed of the scars of my Lord Jesus. And I'll tell you one thing, if you're a child of God, you will also bear in your walk scars for Him. You will not go in this world without being scarred and be trampled on by the world, but you're going to bear scars one way or another. Why shouldn't you bear them for the King of Light instead of the King of Darkness? Now, how then will the divine beauty burst and created in Him by the Almighty? How will a beautiful life ever become divided and shared among those which are not lovely at all? How would you ever take a beautiful life and get that beautiful life out of the not so beautiful bottle? You see, the Lord Jesus was not a handsome fellow on the outside. As a matter of fact, the way the scripture and the prophet projects the Lord Jesus, imagine if we would have looked at him, it would have been the kind of appearance that you'd felt sorry for him. He would have not had the look that you'd have looked at him and said, well, he's a handsome guy. No, his appearance would have been almost something that would have turned you away. Lord God, you see, His gospel is the same way, and it makes me sick. When you see people that do not want to hear or preach or live the gospel as it is, straight, sometimes hard, sometimes difficult, but they want to put it up with worldly beauty and wash it all down and take all this out of it and that out of it. You compromiser. But yet, He calls us beautiful. And yet we know in reality there was absolutely nothing about us that was beautiful at all. Our nature was awful. Our attitudes were terrible. Many of you, your language was as filthy as a sailor. Your habits and life were ungodly and unclean, and you were wretched and vile. How are you ever going to bring a people like that into a state to where He can look at her and say, I am not beautiful. I am not comely. But you are. I will crown you with that which I chose not to resemble only inwardly. But I will give you of my own attributes insomuch that the world will take notice of you. I will actually allow you to exceed in glory over what I did when I was a human. I will allow them to acknowledge you. They ridicule me. They made fun of me. But I will be with you in such a way they will ask you for prayer. When they're in dire need and it is my glory upon you, they ridicule me. They call me Beelzebub. Psalms 45:10. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. Now you see, Psalms 45 is the parallel to the Song of Solomon. It's the king and his love for his wife. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty. For he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. So here he likens this. He condescends to the language of a natural man and woman, that a man that would be married to an attractive woman, and he would relate it to her. I desire you, and I desire to be with you, and I want to spend time with you. And God condescends to that level and says, the king will desire thy beauty. So this is my question to you. Where did you get that beauty? You were born ugly because you was born in sin. No matter how much you want to think you're something and your flesh is this and that and the other, it is sin. It is rotten. It's no good. But yet the Lord has so transformed the elect that he attributes to them a beauty which deity desires. So it cannot be the perfection of human trying this and a human trying that and a human learning how to refrain from this and a human discipline themselves to do this and that and the other. That's works. Does God want that from us? He does. But he could never look at that and attribute it to something that deity itself could latch onto. In order for deity to desire a beauty, it must be a deity that can be able to correlate to the beauty inside the individual. So it has to be from the attributes of God, the very works of God himself, in the lives of the changed individuals, that God can say, you are beautiful, and I desire thy beauty. Think of it, children. God don't want our church. We've got a nice place. I thank the Lord for it, don't you? Yes, sir. God don't want our church building. When the rapture comes, Brother Phil, he'll leave it right here. Our clothes are clean and nice. Thank God for that. These clothes ain't going in the raptures, neither is yours. You got a nice place to live. Thank God for that. You have a nice automobile. That's nice. The rapture is not for automobiles and people with clothes. It's for beautiful people. You see, this is actually the divine beauty contest. Except we don't strip off naked and get on television. We don't learn how to sing and dance. But it is the search for the most beautiful woman in the world. Now remember, the most beautiful woman that was ever made was Eve in the Garden of Eden. The conquest for the most beautiful woman in the world is still ongoing. Now, the churches, of course, all claim that they're her. So they got Miss Baptist. She entered into contestancy as Miss Baptist. And then you got Miss Church of God. And then you got Miss Church of Christ. And you got on and on and on. And they're all, of course, saying they're the one. We are going to win this contest. But the elect of God are the ones that are saying, we're not worthy. We can't even enter this contest. There ain't no world. There's nothing about us that's any good. She'll be the winner. Amen. Because the others will present works of their hands or songs they can sing or buildings they have done or programs that they've been able to accomplish. But yet the elect of God, they come knowing that they were born in Laodicea naked, and they would still be naked were it not for a robe to cover their nakedness. Psalms 48:1. A song and psalm for the sons of Korah. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God. In the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion. On the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Now remember, Zion is always the bride. Here now we have a double parallel in the meaning of this scripture. Of course, it was naturally Zion. David, remember, went in and took this city, Jebus, before it was named Jerusalem. He took it from the Jebusites. It was by divine command of God, of course, because it was near here that Job was buried. It was near here that Abraham was buried in the cave of Machpelah. It was here that David came and bought the threshing floor of Araunah, and he was able to purchase it. And he was also not just bought the threshing floor of itself, but you look at the amount of property when David was given the title deed, the way it's written in the scripture, and the amount of money, the shekels that was paid. It was also a large encroachment of land, and there would not only be a place for the altar to be, but it would also be enhanced into what would be called the city of David. Notice which direction that it is. It's on the sides of the north. Remember, it was the sides of the north that Satan desired. Well, glory. It was the north side of heaven that he started his revolt. It was the sides of the north that he said he would exalt himself above the throne of God. I will exalt myself and go up to the sides of the north. But God said, you're not getting the sides of the north, you're getting the sides of the pit. Well, praise the Lord. God said the sides of the north belong to me. Amen. So beautiful for situations. So beauty then is also identified in a predestinated position by which we hold. Now, I believe David was inspired, as I'm sure you do, when he went in and he conquers this city of Jebus, because it was a city that had great walls, and many of you that had been there have seen pictures of it, and it was a very strategic type of place. It made it very difficult to be able to try to conquer it. But there was a waterway on the inside, unlike many of the cities around, and they would have to go outside, or they'd build in a stream, so when they would come to conquer them, they would be able to conquer it because they held off the water supply. But on the inside of this city was a well on the inside, so there was water that run underneath the city, so when they would try to capture the city and cut off their water supply, they couldn't cut it off because they had a well of living water on the inside. Hallelujah! There you go. All the world's doing this, and there ain't no revival here and there and there. That don't affect us. We have a well of living water on the inside. Hallelujah. But remember, it was through this hidden water canal or channel by which David and his men were able to sneak through, and by that they took the city by conquest and he could make it his capital. But yet David was not be happy with it being just like it was before. So he expands it to the sides of the north, and then David enhances this and calls it the city of David. So here, this is the part now that God specializes. He loved Jerusalem, but God loved the city of David over his love for the main body or the original allotment of the city of Jerusalem. Can't you see the bride and the church? That God loves the church and he cares for the church and he will save the church, but the city of David is where the throne's going to be. Now here then, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Now why not Jerusalem itself? Because Zion itself is separated away from Jerusalem. Notice again Psalms 90 verse 17. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us. Oh my goodness. So God must have something about his character, nature, attributes, or something that is beautiful. Let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands establish thou it. Now notice, this is a prayer. David may not have even understood what he was praying. But he had been into the presence of God enough to know that there was such majesty and such magnificence about the presence of God, and apparently had been able to see a little bit of the brilliance of the light of God. And David knew that there was a beauty about the Lord which mortal people had never really broke into, just a few here and there. And he was able to read in the law, the Torah, the Mishnah, and knew what Moses had been able to see, and certain selected ones down through the age. And he knew there was something about God that God wanted to share with these people. This man is not going to ask this unless it could be granted, or you believe that. So it was like there was a thirst in David, and there was something outside of that thirst to be able to come and meet this thirst. So he didn't ask for gold or silver or you know, something like that, but he asked for the beauty of the Lord to be upon the people. Again, Psalms 149 verse 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure. Listen to this. I love this scripture. The Lord taketh pleasure. The Lord taketh pleasure in. Oh, you mean not all people. Now if you folks ain't careful, you're going to be respected persons now. This is what the Bible says. The Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He loves them above and beyond other people. You say that ain't fair. Don't you sit there with that hypocritical attitude, you hypocrite. You sit there and love your family more than you love anybody else in the world, and you're going to accuse God of doing something that you do every day of your life. Is it hypocrisy for you all to love your daughters and sons more than you love my daughters? Don't accuse God of doing the same thing you do. And he does it in a divine way and you do it in a human way. Amen. But the Lord, now notice how David, Brother Terry, how could he see this without the baptism of the Holy Ghost to break into an understanding of God that the Lord taketh pleasure? Almighty God, friends, think who we're talking about. We're not talking about a mortal man. We're talking about Almighty God takes pleasure in his people. His people actually do something to him that is able to bring him pleasure. What could we give? What could we do? What in the world could we as mortals ever do that would give an eternal Almighty Elohim, which had a need of nothing, yet somehow we render him pleasure? For the Lord taketh pleasure in his people. He will. You see, Jacob had 12 sons. But there was only one of those 12 that he beautified with a coat of many colors. Glory. Woo! Hallelujah! He didn't make all the rest of them a coat. But he made Joseph a beautiful coat. A coat of many colors. Now to us that doesn't mean anything really today. But to know to the expense of how expensive that dyes were, especially the reds and the maroons and the blues. The blues come from a mollusk out of the sea, and the reds come from a little tiny berry that come off of an oak tree that was just so sparse. You'd find one here and find another 100 miles away and find another 100 miles away. And to see the cost that was involved and being able to make this coat of many colors. Why? He wanted him to have such a diverse walk before him. And that love. And what did this coat signify? It signified he was chosen above his brothers. Woo! Glory to God. This is why they got jealous. Why? Because they was not bright. I mean because they didn't have a coat of many colors. And they looked at that coat of many colors, and when they saw that, they knew what it represented. It represented a special love. It represented, I wish somebody preached with me tonight. It represented a special love that their daddy had for Joseph. It represented a special position that Joseph had, which was above their position. It signified. signified all of the colors, all of the majesty. It also signified he was next in line to be the chief of the tribe. And one out of 12 was beautified with salvation. I'll tell you, friends, I feel so sorry for folks that don't say election. It is all through the Bible, everywhere you look. Now, David said that the Lord taketh pleasure in his people, that he will beautify. Notice, he will not beautify the proud. It's not the rich. It's not the poor. That's not your identification. The identification is the meek. Those that can humble themselves. Now we're talking about bride material. He loves them above all people that's on the earth. Well, I'm going to go ahead and preach it. He loves his people, not all mankind. No, not all mankind on the same level. Well, some of you still struggling with that issue. They are under the care of his divine providence. He gives them water. He gives them sunshine. He gives them many, many things, and all of them will share many things when it comes to that. But when it comes to being beautified with salvation, the elect of God move into that sphere that others can only dream about. Can I go on? So it is, by making this, it is a reflection of the nature of an ornament, a decoration, if you will. An ornament by which God puts upon the life of these individuals. And it's not themselves. It's not that they're any different than anybody else on the earth. Even any different than the rest of their brothers. I mean, look at Joseph. Was it because his mama was better? Well, Benjamin come along. And yet Benjamin, being of the same mother and of the same father, yet Benjamin never received a coat. Benjamin never received the position Joseph was going to have. Why? He was chosen of God. And Jacob was able to identify that choosing, and then by changing his clothes, oh glory, by changing his clothes, so his clothes signified his position. Again, I say it, don't let the world and these bunch of stripped off the way of the sins make fun of you, sisters. You hang your head high as a daughter of God and realize they're blind, they don't know what they're talking about. Clothes don't have nothing to do with it. It sure did with Joseph. It sure did by the children of Israel. Come on, church. Oh, my. Now, the same with us. You know, as far as worthy, we're not worthy. But why? Why are we able to walk into the fullness of the atonement on a different level than just salvation? People, oh, my, there'll be millions of them that'll be saved. Well, we're not talking about just being saved. We're talking about being clothed with the garment. The garment of what? The representation of the mixed colors and the diversities of the attributes of God that are pulled in one garment. Don't you see what the Lord Jesus done for you? The garment of salvation, the robe that's going to be placed around you. It is not just for healing. It's not just for more money to pay your bills. That's part of it, sure. But it contains so many of the attributes of God. You've got the blue. You've got the indigo. You've got the red. You've got the purple. You've got the yellow. You've got the amber, you've got the amethyst, you've got all of these yellow jasper that's in this. It consummates the entirety of God's love in a robe placed upon those of you that he has chosen to dress you up. Now I'm telling you one thing, there ain't no way in the world a woman's going to get dressed up and know where to go. Now, you women might dress up sometimes for your husband and comb your hair, and if you don't, you ought to. You shouldn't look like a rag-headed mop whenever he comes in the door. Well, praise the Lord. You still shouldn't come in with your jammies on. Still got your house coat on where you got up this morning. You ought to present yourself right. Come on. Well, I'm telling you one thing. There sure is a lot of clothes been put on this bride. She sure is getting dressed up and ready to go somewhere. Woo! Glory to God. There ain't no way in the world he's dressing us up like this to go to Walmart There ain't no way in the world he's dressing us up like this to go into a tribulation period. The kind of clothes he's putting on you proves you ain't going to a tribulation. You are going to a marriage supper. You're going to a banquet with the Lamb. That's one of the reasons we have these banquets for the young people. You honestly think it's these brothers that ask for this? You think it's these brothers that want these tuxes? Oh, some of them will dress up in tuxes and they'll do all that. But who is it that really gets all diked out? Now, that's a Kentucky language for really all fix up, whatever y'all hillbilly language is for. My, these sisters go to Ross and they go to Belk and they go to Penny's and try to find one where they don't look like a slithering serpent in one of them. Back out of it and the front out of it and the arms out of it. Come on, saints. Why? Who made them? Well, of course, the designer made them. That's why they look the way they did. But yet there's something about it. I told Carol about this. I said, there's just something about sisters, and it ain't just young sisters. Oh, Jesus, I'm going in here now. Some of these older sisters like to get all dressed up. Ain't nothing wrong with that. As long as it's decent. But can you imagine stepping out, Brother Aaron, and your wife's got on a dress of some sort of these glittery things and all a little bit of sequins or whatever you call that stuff? You say, where are you going? Walmart. You're thinking, no way. You're not going to Walmart looking like that, Lindsay. So listen, friends, what's been preached. Listen to what the servants of God are saying. And you're worried about where you're going? Listen to what the men of God are dressing you in. Glory to God. They don't tell you where you're going. Amen. You hear me preaching about storing up food and digging you a cellar and trying to do this, that, and other? Of course not. I'm not getting you ready for no tribulation period. I ain't getting you ready with no bunch of conspiracy theories. I'm not trying to preach a bunch of black helicopters and this and that and the other. I ain't looking for a helicopter. I'm looking for a theophany. Woo! Hallelujah! I'm not looking to dig a hole in the ground. I'm looking for a hole in the sky so I can fly out of this world. I'm getting dressed up. My clothes say where I'm going. Now, y'all may not see it, but I'm dressed up real fit and proper. I ain't talking about this suit and this tie and this white shirt. I'm talking about my soul. The cost of this word that's been produced from the spun mills of the divine word given down through a prophet of God to be able to handle down and lay down on these tapes for years and years and years, and the servants of God still going back and gleaning. Sometimes I wonder how in the world Brother Branham ever kept all this stuff. Sometimes, Brother Amos, I look out and say, my goodness, it's a wonder that man didn't blow to smithereens with all these revelations and all this word that God gave him. And you've got preachers around the world still feeding on what he preached. If the millennium, if it's 1,000 years from now, preachers will still be preaching this message. They'll still be digging things out of there, and it'll be absolutely astounding. Amen. Why? Because God has provided such a wardrobe of the word, and the weaving of the pattern, the cloth is so divine by his own attributes that he can look at her when she's done and say, "Amen." Soured, beautiful. I've stood right here many a time, and you've been here with me. And I walk out that door with that nervous groom and the best man. He's heard about the dress. He knows a little bit about it. But I always look at the groom whenever I say, all arise or keep seated, whichever. I look at him because I know this is his first time in seeing her like this. I see the fear, the anxiety, the excitement. I see the tears in her daddy's eyes as he's walking her down the aisle. And I never see that, Brother Greg, that I don't think of the Lord Jesus in that morning of the rapture. When it all starts happening. He changes his garments. He goes in behind those curtains as it was. Lays aside his bloody garments as high priest. And he walks out dressed as a bridegroom. And the angels know it's rapture time. About that time, those that's in the sixth dimension, glory be to God, they're released from the sixth dimension. Now hang with me. About the same time, your theophany, which you've never seen yet, but you heard from it at least once, it's released from beyond the curtain of time as well. And here you are down on the earth. You got up Monday morning, Tuesday, whatever it was, same old, same old. Maybe you've got a root canal appointment that day, and you've got a, you know, you've got an appointment with a lawyer, an appointment with this and that, and the other. Oh my goodness, I dread this so bad. Oh, I can't believe it. And you get up, and all of a sudden, a sweep goes over you. Now what happens is your blood, your bones, your sinew, your muscles, your hair, your teeth, your eyes, all that inside of you just began, just like that, changed. You're changed from a mortal to an immortal. But there's another part of you that you're fixing to join up with, which is your theophany. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Can you imagine when the great union takes place and we go to see all those saints of God and the resurrection sets in and we all gather around our Lord Jesus and we get to see him for the first time with our natural eyes, glorified eyes. I mean, we thought, oh, but can you imagine him? How long have you wanted this? 30 years, 40 years, 50 years? Try 80 billion. 90 billion. Try who knows how many years, eternity, that you've longed for this. Can you imagine when he sees her? He'll be breathless himself. Oh, my sweetheart. How I've longed for this day. Come away, my love. Let's go. Oh, thou art beautiful. Now, we won't all look the same. Some of us have brown hair and some black, some red, maybe some auburn, no gray. Be none of us, you know, none of us with any blinded eyes or crippled or none of us with any attitudes. Man alive, if we get our attitude changed, we keep the old body, it'd be pretty good just for that. You realize everything about us that makes us not like other people that we go to church with, all of us are going to be changed from that. Now I'm going to go ahead and preach with or without your amens. They are appreciated. But let's just be honest and face facts. There's folks in this message that humanly we just don't like being around them. Because they clash. Not that we're not brothers and sisters now. But there's clash in our human makeup and our human nature. Why does he say that? I don't understand what he means. You know, why does she say that? Why does she come across like that? Look, friend, that has to be changed about us. If not, we'll find ourselves pulling off in little corners over in heaven. And you'll find three or four over here and three or four over there and four or five over there. No, there won't be none of that. Because all of the things in our humanity that make us clash will all be gone. And listen, every one of us need to be changed from the preacher on down. That's right, because there is no perfect human makeup. And yet God took all of this, my, the mess that we were in. And we were in the rags of sin. And we were in the rags of Satan. And we look like a prostitute. Or we look like an ill-famed woman. But God said, I know what I can do for her. I know what I can do. I can change her. I can call her by her name, by her real name. And and she'll respond from the soul. I will burst her by my word. I will close her in my beauty. And when I do, she will take my breath away. Can I have a few more minutes? Isaiah chapter 4, verse 2. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. Isaiah 52, 1. Awake, awake. Put on thy strength, O Zion. Put on thy beautiful garments. O Jerusalem, the holy city, from henceforth there shall be no more come unto thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. Isaiah 61, 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. I see in our Western thinking, this makes no sense. Beauty for ashes? Ashes what? But this was a custom for many thousands of years and still is among many of the Easterners. That when a tragedy would come or the death of a loved one, they would cast ashes on their heads or ashes on their face. They would throw the ashes up and cover themselves in ashes. So this is the way he found us in our calamity, in our fears. Ashes was all over our face. Ashes all over our soul. Mixed with our human sorrow. As we had cried and lamented and cried. And the tears and the ashes all mixed together. And you had on ash mascara. You look like a mess. But God said, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to give you the washing of the water by the word, Sister Jackie. Now I want you to take the water of the word, and I want you to start washing your face. Let's start up here with your eyes first. And let's go to get all this stuff off of your eyes and off of your face, because you're going to see me. Now I don't want you, now if you look out there and you still got ash water and stuff in there, you may look and think there's three of me. But if you keep on washing long enough, you realize there's only one. That's why a lot of folks still think there's two or three. They still got ash water in their eyes. But brother, if you'll wash good enough, you'll find out he is the everlasting Father. So he said, let me have your ashes. Let me have your streaked face. What do you want to do? I'll take it on myself. Amen. And I'll give you beauty. You want to trade? Now you and I both know. If you went to a car lot looking for a car, you pull up in a 69 Volkswagen. The left fender is tied on with baling wire. The right fender is held on by solder. It's got 42 cans of Bondo. That's a lot of Bondo for a Volkswagen. And it's a straight shift besides that. The paint's chipped. You pull in on the lot and the salesman runs out and said, we want to trade you this Lincoln Continental. 73.9. It's the sticker price. We'll give you $2,000 to boot. You're going to say, I'm leaving this place right now. This man is an absolute imbecile. What'd you think? Now, wait a minute. No. You know how them folks call you on the phone. Hello, is this Donnie Reagan? Yes, you have won. A 40-day vacation on a cruise. Every woman, I don't like cruises. Only cruise I like is on my Ford truck. Yeah. Sir, you have won a television. You said, ma'am, you don't know who you're talking to. You know how most of that works. You win this and it wind up costing you 10 grand. But Jesus says, honestly, let me trade with you.
That's right. That is true.
Now, Lord, no. Jesus, you're trying to cheat me. He said, no. Honestly. I'll take your filth, your lying, your sin.
Amen.
I'll take your first husband that you're born with and kill him. I'll help you live with everything else that the new birth does not eradicate in your flesh. I'll be there every day of your life. And if you get out in the middle of the ocean and the waves are real big, remember, your life, God walks on water. No matter what you're going through, I promise you, I'll always be there. I'll heal you when you get sick. I'll lift you up when you get down. I promise I'll never leave you. And you say, what do I have to do? Trade. Give me the keys to your Volkswagen.
Amen.
And I'll give you the keys to this brand new life. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. If you'll let me, I'll make you drunk every day. You'll be so drunk on the Holy Ghost, you'll lose sight of this world. No. I'm leaving this. There ain't no way. Aren't you glad you accepted the deal? Praise God. Any of y'all want your Volkswagen back? Any of y'all want your old sinful life back? You lying, you filth, all that. Oh, Brother Donnie said, always easy. No, it ain't always easy. He didn't say that. That wasn't in the contract. But he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I'll go with you all the way to the end of the world. If you're down, I'll be down with you. If you're going through trouble, I'll be there with you. I give you my word. Let me close with this. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is what he's going to trade you for. Now listen to the trade. Y'all want trade? So it says, I'll give them beauty for ashes. I'll give you the oil of joy for your mourning. Now, children, this is either true or it's not true. Glory to God. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Going to church tonight? I reckon ain't nothing else better to do. I'm so low, I'll tell you one thing. I hope Brother Louie don't get up and go to, let's clap our hands, let's he says that I'm going to throw my songbook at him. I've had the office a week ever was. God's got a deal for you here tonight. Praise God. God will give you the oil of joy for mourning. And the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
That they might be called the trees of righteousness.
Yes, sir.
The planting of the Lord. That he might be glorified.
Amen.
This is one reason Brother Brady does this. He comes to service after service after service. Not only when you first got saved, but service after service. Maybe you come in here tonight with the spirit of heaviness. Jesus is a deal maker. You come in, you're sad. He's got a lot of oil still left over. Now maybe I look at it crazy or something, but I'll tell you one thing. I don't figure this oil of joy is going to do me one bit of good in the rapture. I reckon some of y'all saving it. Y'all got a bottle over here, and you got a bottle over there, and one down there. You got your shoes full. You got your socks full. It ain't never up here because you're like. I'm a Christian, hallelujah. And you tell your children, don't you want what I got? I don't think they do. I don't even want what you got. But show them a little bit of peace, a little bit of happiness, a little bit of joy. Let your children know there's joy in serving God. Marijuana and dope and rock and roll and the things of the world can never give them what the baptism of the Holy Ghost can give them. Thou art beautiful. He makes all things beautiful in His time. You see, God, by future sight, can look at the earth and look at her and say, you are beautiful. Right now, she has sin, sickness, death. How many holes have been dug in the ground and human bodies put in there? How many have been strewn along the battlefields, never even had a burying place? How much blood, human blood, has been spread upon the earth? But God can look at her future state of His promise and say, you are beautiful. Maybe you don't feel so beautiful tonight. Maybe you're having a difficult time with this or that or the other. In the age, the time that we're living in, people generally aren't having a difficult time with something. They're having difficult times with several somethings all at one time. But remember, He will never leave you. And when the train goes to slowing down in Laodicea, maybe it's somebody you go to college with, somebody you go to school with, a mother, a father, whoever. And your Jesus comes with the reproach of the word. I understand the way they modernized Jesus. Jesus wouldn't even know Himself. He'd say, you preachers ain't talking about me. You're preaching a Jesus of your own making. You understand what the majority of Laodiceans would do? For Jesus Christ to appear Himself to them in His form of His word, they would be ashamed of Him. That's why they're ashamed of us. They would be so ashamed of Him. Hey, they would not want Him in their church. If Jesus made anybody shout or healed anybody or cast out a devil out of somebody, that would so embarrass them. May God help me. My name is broadcast on public television or radio or newspapers. I'm misunderstood by message people or whatever more. When the train pulls in, and Jesus, the Word, is standing there. May God help me. I'll never be ashamed. Now you see, He knows how that feels. Brother Branham quotes the consequence when the Lord Jesus, when He spoke there His Word about the woman, about the girl rather, said that she's sleeping, and they laughed Him to scorn. And He said that word meant embarrassed. So Jesus felt embarrassed. And you imagine, He's a Jew, might be a little bit darker skinned than us, but still by the jimmies. His cheeks flushed and He felt embarrassed. If He didn't, He couldn't understand you when you feel embarrassed. Have any of y'all ever been embarrassed about certain things of the Word? I'll raise my hand. All right, the rest of you line up a liar prayer line right now. What does that? The human part. Yeah, we've all got that little girl in us yet. Here it is. The reproach for the word, the scars for the word, the pain for the word. That's why Laodicea loves their Jesus. There's no reproach. There's no reproach. But to come and sit in a church like this, oh, they know about us. I run into them all the time. Doctors, all kinds of people. Oh, yeah, we stream your services. Yeah, we stream your services. I was in a retail place not long ago. Woman checked me out, look like the world, smell like the world. Say, good morning, Brother Donnie. I said, ma'am, I don't think I know you. She said, I was listening to you coming to work this morning. We're known. Why do you think one reason they won't come here? They won't be identified. You dress-wearing women. We're the skirt church. The skirt church. Well, I'd rather us be called the skirt church than the bikini church. Because that's the way God looks at most of them. Actually, most of them, the way God looks at most of them, they ain't got any bikini on. They're naked. Amen. Does it bother you, sisters, when you see them laughing at you and talking about you? Of course it does. But you jump off that train. You jump off that train. Run over to your Lord Jesus. You realize how blessed you are. It's your Lord Jesus will be standing there waving. Welcome home. Welcome home. Let's get off the train, shall we? With our pride, our whatever more. He went in the flames of fire. He wrapped his garments around me so I wouldn't be burned. Glory. Praise God. You know, there's many things I love about the Lord Jesus, but this is one of them. It's the mysterious part about his nature. I'd studied out my sermon, and I pretty well thought I knew the direction I was going to go. I've been looking at it for days. Back there in the study before I came out, the Lord spoke this story to me about this little girl. I hadn't looked at it in I don't even know how long. I pulled it up. As I began to read it, I just sat there and tears trickled out of my eyes, and I knew it was going to be a key point in tonight's service. Young men, young ladies, your mama, God is your mother. Are you ashamed of him in school, ashamed of him in college, ashamed of him in camp, ashamed of him where you work? Jesus is waving at you. I love you. I want to let you know I love you. That's why I want Brother Donnie to wear you out. I love you. I'm letting y'all know I love you. Or do you get off the train? Oh, wouldn't you hate to eat with somebody like that? Oh, my God. Look at that face. Oh, my. Or will you go to him and say, oh, Master. I'm beautiful because of your scar. Don't you love him, saints? Amen. Think of it now as we look at it this way. He has called you beautiful tonight. His beauty has been shared with you. His scars. Will there be nail scars in heaven? You know, people debate and argue and fuss and this and that and the other. Annie Crosby seemed to think so. Whenever they wanted her to write love songs and country music and whatever more, she wouldn't sell out her talent to the world. So they criticized her and said, so, how do you think you're going to know him? What if you get there and you're still blind in heaven? What are you going to do then? She said, I shall know him. I shall know him. And redeemed by his side, I shall stand. I shall know him, I shall know him by the prints of the nails. Let's just say it this way. If he's still got them, it'll be the only thing in heaven that was made by man. Oh, Brother Don, if I could see him. Hey, friends, when you're hearing his word preached, you are seeing him.
We got a couple that's going to be baptized tonight. Sister Patience, I think. And then we got another little brother that's wanting to be baptized. And he was just absolutely adamant that Brother Scott Airwoods, Brother West is going to do the first one. Brother Scott's going to do the second one. So I just want to let you know, kind of what's going on here. Our little brother so wanted Brother Scott to baptize him. So if they'll come and prepare for that tonight. These brothers can baptize them in water. But only the Lord Jesus can be able to immerse them in His divine nature with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Oh my, can we just worship Him just a little bit? Oh God, we worship You, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for taking away our ashen face. Lord, I never was in the depths of sin. As many as these folks were, they could express more about the loneliness than years and years of that than I could. But I've talked to enough to know. Getting up every day looking for some peace, some satisfaction. If suicide was only among the poor, then we could say, well, it's social. It's because they don't have money to pay their bills and money to indulge. But yet we know movie stars, the famous, the rich, the important, people that supposedly have everything, they take their lives. Lord Jesus, because they're longing for peace. They go to bed with medicine, they get up with meds, they have to take all kinds of things. They've still got ashes all over them. But thank You, Lord Jesus. When we pulled up on Your lot that day, wherever it was, and You offered us this unbelievable deal. I'll take Your old nature. I'll redeem You. I'll save You. I'll fill You with the Holy Ghost. You give me Your sins, Your past. I'll totally pay it off. I'll loose Your lien. I'll make You debt free. It seemed impossible. But as the song says, I sure got the best of the trade. You're the only one that can make such an offer. Thank You, Lord Jesus. I accepted it. I'm sure there's others in this building tonight and streamed. They feel the same way, Lord. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Those scars that You bore in Your body, Your suffering, that this beautiful life could be released. And that You could look at us and say, Thou art beautiful as Tirzah. Comely as Jerusalem. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Lord, if there's one here tonight or under the sound of my voice, they've not been made beautiful yet. They still look like a sinner, act like one, dress like one, talk like one. Maybe they pull up their 69 Volkswagen as it was. On this lot of eternal life. May they feel the nudge of the Holy Spirit as He walks out and says, I trade with you. How about this? I'll loose you from your sins. I'll take away your guilt. I'll never mention them to you again. I'll sanctify you. I'll fill you with the Holy Ghost. I'll start feeding you my word. You'll get so fat. You'll grow so much. You'll finally outgrow your body. And I'll have to give you a new body to match your soul. You want to trade? Oh God, may the Holy Ghost
I know this is a simple comparison, Lord. But may the Holy Ghost deal with every heart, Lord. Our brothers baptize these people tonight, Father. If they had not received the Holy Ghost, may you come and immerse them into Jesus Christ. Bless them.
Brothers and sisters, this is Sister Patience Pageant. She was baptized when she was younger, and she didn't really feel like she understood back then what she was doing. If they understand, they have only to repent, you know, and take communion and foot washing. But since she didn't know what she was really doing, she didn't really understand what she was walking into, she wanted to revisit her first works. She wants to take on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And she's doing that with full intention and with understanding tonight. She's coming to the Lord, repenting of her sins. Yes, sis. And she wants to take His name and not take it in vain. So let's all pray together as I lay hands on her and pray with her now. Father, we stand here together in this water, Lord, where only You can do the true work of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and only the true baptism, Lord, comes at Your hand. Father, as I lay hands on my sister now, as all the apostles did before me, Lord, I'm just simply believing that Your Spirit is going to do the work here. Father, my sister has repented of her sin, and she has turned from it, and she's come to meet You now in this water. And Lord, I, with all the saints gathered here as witnesses, together tonight, pray that she receive that baptism that she seeks, Lord Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for everything You're going to do. Sister Patience, I now baptize you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
We've got here Brother Lucas Scott Hickson. And Brother Lucas is 10 years old. He's wanting to get baptized bad. He didn't want to wait. I asked him if he had anything he wanted to say. He said, I want to get it over with. So that's a direct quote. So this guy's such a tender spirit here, and I just love to see our young ones give their heart to the Lord. So let's just bow our hearts in prayer here. Heavenly Father, I stand here in the water with this young man, Lord, that's taking on Your name tonight, Lord. He's taking a step of faith here, Lord Jesus. Lucas has had a rough year this year, Lord. He's been to the doctor a lot, had a lot of tests run on him. Doing much better, Father. We thank You for that, Lord. And I pray, Lord Jesus, tonight, as he takes on Your name, Lord, that he could just have the faith of God, build upon the faith of God, where he sees what You've done for him, Lord, to just make him a real Christian, Lord, a real light to his three brothers, Father, his schoolmates, Lord, anyone he comes in contact with, Lord. I just pray that he'd be a real Christian, Father. And may he know, Lord, that You're there at all times, Lord, and You're there for him. You do anything for him, we just ask, Father. So I just pray Your blessings on my brother tonight. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, Brother Lucas. Thank You, Father. We just ask, Lord, that You be with my brother, Father. In accordance to Your word, Lord, in obedience to Your word, we baptize our brother in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.
I'd say get it over with.
I'd say that's what we're going to be saying after a while about the rapture. Let's just get it over with. Let's get out of this place. Maybe you've already met him and he's took your sins from you. But maybe you've been going through a terrible depression or just a low spot in your life. Heaviness because of sickness. Maybe you're in the position of being a caregiver. I know there's many going through school and trying to graduate, this and that. Her life is just so hectic and so busy. I believe Jesus is still in the business of trading garments. You'd like for him to help you tonight. Just raise your hand to him. Lord, pass by this way, would you, Jesus? Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, we bow our heads, Lord, and we call upon your wonderful name. We thank you for this little simple service tonight. Lord, I pray you'd come by this way again. Lord, several raised their hands that they've got worry on them or fret or depression or sadness or just a spirit of heaviness. Lord Jesus, may you come by offer them a trade. Joy unspeakable. It's not that they need to get saved. It's not that they're not a Christian, but Satan has tried to rob their joy and their peace. They've tried various things to remedy it. You're still trading, Lord. Pass by this way tonight, Lord God. Come by here, Lord Jesus. Come by here with garments of praise. Come by here with healing and deliverance and peace, joy, salvation, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Granted, I pray, Lord God, we worship you tonight, mighty God. Oh, Lord Jesus, forgive me, God. Forgive me. I've ever in any way felt embarrassed by your word. Lord, you know the situations that happened to us a few years ago here, Lord. People still look at me and I see them out in different places and I just know they've seen me and you know how it makes me feel. I feel my face turns red and God, help us each one. We'll never be ashamed of your word. You said in the book of Hebrews, you're not ashamed to call us your brothers. Praise God. We worship you tonight, Lord. Can we just raise our hands, friends? Don't you love him? Sing something for us, hey. Oh, praise God. Praise God. We love you, Lord Jesus, with all of our hearts, dear God. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Praise God.
There is none.
Thank you, Lord
Jesus. Like you.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. No one else can touch my heart like you do.
Oh, yes.
I could search for all eternity long and find there is
none. Let's sing it together now.
Like you.
All of our hearts. Sing it to you, Lord.
There is none.
Like you,
Jesus.
Oh, no one else can touch
my heart like you do. can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you, Jesus. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. Touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you. Touch my heart like you do. Oh, I could search for all eternity long and find there's nobody like you.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I got a text here just a few weeks ago after I was preaching on value and money. And I dealt a little bit, if you remember, on car salesmen and all that. There's a brother in the message which is a car salesman, and he had streamed that service last night. He was several states away from that, or that night rather. And he said, I always knew there'd be a preacher that would help us poor car salesmen. Because car salesmen can tend to have kind of a bad reputation, you know. They want to sell you theirs at retail and get yours at wholesale. So they make money both ways. My family was in car business, so I understand a little bit of how it works. But Jesus wants to trade with you, and he'll give you above and beyond retail value for yours and mark down what he's going to trade for you way below wholesale. And this is not one of them $5 over the invoice things that you see around here. $10 over invoice, we promise. We promise $10 over invoice. And you think, come on, I mean, I was born in the morning, but not yesterday morning. But Jesus said, honest, I'll give you what I want to give you. It's so marked down. It's marked down. It's Easter sale. It's because of Easter that we can run these specials. Praise God. God bless you, saints. I know. I'm simple. I'm not deep. I'm not a theologian. I'm not all of these things. But there's one thing I always want to be. Obedient. 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 Amen. God bless you. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, we love you so much tonight. Thank you for the word, Lord. Thank you for the gospel, Lord Jesus, that still comes in its simple way. And yet it absolutely captures us, Lord. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Since you're in the trading and dealing business, before long you're fixing to offer your bride another one of them divine deals. The deal will be made something like this. I'll give you a new body for that old one. That 75-year-old one with all of its rheumatism and your 32 pills that you're taking a day. And your glasses and your hearing aids and you can't hear and you can't walk. You can't hardly talk. You can't hardly do none of that. I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you one that's 16 years old. 18, 20, whatever it's going to be. And it'll be 18 for eternity. Praise God. All over the world, the deal will be made in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And the bride will step into her new car. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much. Lord, I pray that you'd go with us now. Keep your hand upon us as we go. Bring us back again in the morning, Lord. We just look once again for you to speak to us from your precious word. We love you, Lord God, with all of our hearts. I can't speak for everybody else tonight, but Lord, for myself, I'm going to leave this place and say, my heart burned within me. My heart burned within me because I heard him talk to us along the way. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go with us now, Father, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn and check in with somebody. Would you tell them, God bless you, brother, sister. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord. God bless you, saints. I'll see you, Lord willing, in the morning. Bless you, brother Amos. Love all of you. Love you in the Lord. Amen. Let's come expecting the Lord to trade with us in the morning again, all right? Amen. God bless you, saints.
And the church said, amen.